Savior's God, victorious. My chains are gone, my debt is paid, from death to life and grace to grace.
You, there is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And we just give you glory and praise for what you did on this Resurrection Sunday. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad to see him. Amen. Here, I'm glad to see you, sister. Hallelujah. Glad to see you, brother. Glad to see you, brother. Glad to see you, sister. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hi, babe. Hallelujah. Everybody got their offering envelopes that needs one. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Burn it.
And who showed the moon?
Glory to God.
Where to hide till evening?
Hallelujah.
Whose words are
everybody blessed this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Can't preach in this atmosphere. You might as well go home. Amen. Glory to God. Well, his Redeemer, he lives. All of creation
testifies this life within me crying. I'm my Redeemer lives. Yeah, the very same that spins things in orbit, runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken.
mighty God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Glory to God. Let's pray and you can give this morning. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you that our Redeemer lives. We thank you, Lord, that you give us seed to sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We place that seed in an awesome, mighty, in the hand of an awesome, mighty God. You'll multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom and cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Has God been good to anybody? You just hold on to that. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Everybody blessed this morning. Yeah, he did. He just don't know it. I never seen that before. I don't want to see it again, ever. Everybody's wondering what I saw. I saw a man try to put something in the offering plate and the usher pulled back. I don't ever want to see that again as a pastor. Right hand side, he didn't see. Remember, Bernie don't have any peripheral vision on this side. He was leaning that way. Look up, look up, look up. Man, I'll tell you, that offering is a lot harder than it should have been. Y'all made it hard on Bernie there this morning. Amen. Let's pray and get started. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. And Father, I just pray you anoint our ears here and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I think there's a couple of you going down with Miss Debbie. Miss Debbie, make sure Eli and Jubal stay in line. I usually say it just the opposite. I tell Eli and Jubal to keep Miss Debbie in line. But I'm not allowed to say that anymore, so I'm not going to say it anymore. Glory to God. Are you blessed this morning? Amen. We celebrated Passover on Friday night. And when I was thinking about just the resurrection weekend, that's my favorite time of year, Passover to the first fruits offering. And then 50 days later, to the Feast of Pentecost, or Acts chapter 2. And I was thinking about how at the Red Sea, God's kingship is established for the very first time. When they cross the Red Sea on dry land, and Pharaoh's army is drowned in the Red Sea. And we see the meaning of salvation, that you are delivered by the hand of God, your enemy is destroyed by God, therefore you should cast your eyes upon your deliverer. Amen? Amen. So at the Red Sea, God's kingship is established for the very first time when Miriam grabs a tambourine and begins to proclaim, "May Yahweh reign forever and ever." And I was meditating on Calvary. And I've said this many times. I've said that Jesus reestablished God's kingship at Calvary. But then God began to work on my heart and correct me. It's not at Calvary alone that God reestablishes his kingship. But it's on Sunday morning, on Resurrection Day, that God establishes his kingship. Because it's after his death. Obviously, he took the penalty of our sin upon him, death. Then he goes into the belly of hell, right? Preaches the gospel, delivers the captives who are in paradise or in the bosom of Abraham, right? Defeats the wicked king of Sheol, of torment, correct? He defeats all principalities and powers, right? So we are delivered from the penalty of sin. Our enemy is defeated in the portals of hell, and now he is resurrected. Now, therefore, we should cast our eyes upon our deliverer. Amen. Because he is the risen Lord. That was good preaching. Let's take up another offering, Bernie. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Yeah, if that's all we got, it was good. 2 Corinthians. I'll try to be brief. That don't mean anything. Oh, my. What is it with this side of the room? I mean, this side of the room is like parrots. They talk back to you, you know. And we're glad to have you back. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you to tell them this. I am. Now, look at somebody. Look at somebody. I'll look at you, Haley. I want you to repeat this to them. I am my beloved's. Kathy, I am my beloved's. And his desire is for me. Is for me. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Now, tell somebody, God's desire is for me. Is for me. Kathy, God's desire is for me. All right. I didn't want Kathy to be left out back there. Hallelujah. That's why we're celebrating today. It's why Jesus went to a cross at Calvary. It's why he defeated hell, death, and the grave, and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. He defeated them in order that he could reconcile us back to the Father, because God's desire, your beloved's desire, is for you. Amen. Somebody say amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians. I was going to read a long, vast passage of Scripture, but because of time, I won't. Glory to God. Verse 18, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Did I leave that part out? Yeah. I read in a man's book, Henry Scogel. He wrote a book called The Life of God in the Soul of Man. And he said this: the worth and excellency of a soul is to be measured by the object of its love. In other words, your heart will be measured by the object of that heart's love. Amen? So I turned it around. The worth and excellency of God's soul, you with me? Of God's soul is to be measured by the object of his love. Oh, somebody should have took off with that one, okay? I'm going to say it one more time. One more time. The worth and excellency of a soul is to be measured by the object of its love. So let's measure you right now first. Let's measure your soul right now. If we're going to measure our soul, it's going to be measured by the excellency, or it's going to be measured by the object of that love or that soul. What is it? What is it you love the most this morning? Jesus. I got a finger pointed up in the back. Jesus. Amen. Jesus. So if we turn it around and we're going to talk about God, the worth and excellency of God's soul is to be measured by the object of his love. What is the object of his love? You are. Amen. You are. But Jesus also loved his son. Amen. But I want to share something with you real brief. I don't know how brief it'll be. You just bear with me. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 3. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul's saying a lot of things here. He's telling us a lot of stuff. One of the things he's telling us here is it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings light into the dark hearts of men and women all over the world and has been for 2,000 years. Amen. He also says we look in a mirror, right? He said we look in a mirror and we behold the glory of God. We are being transformed. I want to ask you something this morning. Here's why we preach. This is why we should be preachers. This is why Jesus said make disciples. Remember, a disciple was not only to listen to the teaching of the rabbi, but the disciple was to imitate the rabbi. Amen? And so the reason we preach, the reason we teach should be so that when you look in a mirror this week, you can see God in that mirror. And next year, you can see more of God in that mirror. Amen? You should be transformed. You got to get out of the ditch, church. You got to quit looking like you did 5 years ago and start looking like God. Start looking like a servant of the Most High God. Start looking like a son, a child of God. You should be being transformed. You know, one of my favorite movies of all time, I'm telling on myself because my wife can't hear me. I don't think she can. It's... I don't think I'm going to hell because I like Cher, okay? I don't like her politics or her religion, but the girl can sing, all right? And she's a good actor. And one of my favorite movies is Moonstruck. You remember in the beginning of that movie, this is not my notes, Haley, honest. At the beginning of that movie, she's got gray in her hair. And she's all dressed real bland, you know? And her boyfriend, he's a real... You know, he's not very handsome, you know, not very dynamic, right? And she's an accountant of all things. She does numbers, and she lives at home, takes care of mom and dad. You remember that movie? Okay. But then she meets Nicolas Cage, who I think is kind of ugly myself. But anyway, she meets Nicolas Cage. He's only got one hand. Remember that? He's only got one hand, right? Old Nick's got one hand in this movie, and he's a baker. And he wears a t-shirt. I don't know if he had cigarettes rolled up in that sleeve or not. That's the way they used to do it, you know, back in the day. Some of you are too young to remember that, but some of us can remember that, okay? But anyway, here's my point. But she falls in love with the baker. Now she's got a little pep in her step, and she goes down. She has her hair done. She has her nails done. She has a pedicure. She's got a different dress on. I mean, she's looking good. She has been transformed in that movie, right? You're the same way. The more you walk with God, the more you should be transformed by His love, by His faith, by His mercy. Amen. To the point that you begin to reflect the Son of God. The Word of God said in several places in the Bible, God said, "This is my beloved Son." When Peter, James, and John were up on Mount Hermon, the Mount of Transfiguration, and I don't know if Mount Hermon's the right one. Nobody really knows, but it's a cool-looking mountain. If I was going to be transfigured, I'd want to have it done on that mountain. It is gorgeous. But he's up there, and he's transformed. The glory of God is seen upon Jesus, that glorified body there. And Peter, James, and John are there, and the voice from heaven speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. God took pleasure in his son Jesus. Amen. Do you know why? I think this is just my own opinion, okay? And because this is my message, my opinion counts this morning. Amen. You can have your message and your opinion would count. But here's why I think he's so well pleased. He's so well pleased because the Son of God, Yeshua, our Messiah, reflected the Father. Amen. When we looked at Jesus, when they looked at Jesus on the earth, he was the incarnate God. He was the love of God incarnate in the flesh. Amen. Amen. He was Jehovah or Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals in the flesh. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And when God looked at him, he said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." God took pleasure in his Son because he reflected the Father. Amen. There's nothing better for a father than to have his son imitate him. When you teach your child something as a father and you watch that child do it, there's not a prouder moment. I remember one time Brent and Corey were on the 10-year all-star team. And Neil was a catcher. And we talked about how to block the plate. And see, I learned this from the best catcher that ever played baseball, Johnny Bench. Because every Saturday morning before the baseball game come on, they would have a major leaguer come on there, and he would give you tips. And they had Johnny Bench on there one day, and the guy, I don't know how many baseballs he could hold, like 6 or 7 baseballs. His hands were massive. I got these little tiny hands. I can't even hold a tennis ball. Anyway, can you do it? Again someday. So Johnny Bench was showing how when a runner's coming from third to home and you're standing in front of the plate, you take that one shin guard and you block the plate and you catch the ball and you tag the runner out. Okay? And I taught Neil how to do that. And Corey was playing shortstop. We taught him how to go out in the outfield, get the cutoff throw. Don't make the outfielder throw it clear from the fence all the way home. It'll never get there in time. You got to hit the cutoff. The cutoff man's got to be in the right spot. The outfielder's got to throw the ball on a line to the cutoff man. And then the cutoff man takes that ball and throws it home, and the catcher catches it and tags the guy out. Right? That's the way it's supposed to happen. And I don't know where we were, I don't know who we were playing, but it was a 10-year-old all-star game, and they had a runner at first, and a guy hit the ball to the wall, and here he comes, he's going to try to score. And Corey takes the throw in the outfield, turns around and throws it to Neil, and the guy is sliding up into Neil's leg, and he's not even there yet, or the ball's not even there yet. But Neil caught the ball, he's blocked the plate, and he tags the guy out. I'm telling you what. I was like, yes, kids, my kids. So I think God gets the same satisfaction out of you and I. When we reflect his love, his mercy, his faith, amen, or his faithfulness, glory to God. And that's why Jesus did what he did. That's why God incarnated himself as a man to go to Calvary, to be resurrected, was so that you and I could reflect him. Amen? You know, there's a lot of people singing about heaven this morning and getting to heaven, but that has nothing to do with why we get saved. We get saved to be reconciled to the Father. We look at his teachings. We study his teachings in order that we might imitate him, that we might look in that mirror today and say, you know, today I'm a sinner saved by grace. But next year I can look in that mirror and say, hey, I'm in love with God. He's my rock. He's my high tower. Amen. I'm starting to grow and mature. I can look in that mirror a year later and realize how I've helped people, how I've helped minister to other people. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's nothing like leading somebody to the Lord and getting them saved. I probably told you this, but the first guy I led to the Lord was I tried to get Mike saved for years, but that didn't work. But so I had to go to the Kanawha County Jail and find some big Italian guy with 10W-40 weight on his long locks of black hair. And he had a big muscle shirt on. The guy was three times my size and rock hard. And he came up, I don't even know what I preached now. I wasn't even supposed to preach. I don't know what I said, something about the prodigal son. And this old guy came up, he's a bawling, he's a snotting, you know, and he just grabbed me up. He got saved, grabbed me up, right, and a snot and a 10W-40, and you know, and I was hooked. Because I never experienced that before. To be able to be the messenger or the hand of God to help deliver somebody out of darkness. Glory to God. Amen. Let me get to my message. I'm not even on there. But that's the reason we celebrate today. I'm going to move right along. I want you to turn with me to Romans. Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to cut some of the other verses out so I can pitch my tent right here for a short while. Here in Romans chapter 8. I'm coming down here with you all. Remember, in the feast of God, there's Passover. The next day, 7 days of unleavened bread, right? 3 days after the Passover is what is called the first fruits offering, where they brought the first of the barley harvest and waved them on the south end of the temple. And that guaranteed the rest of the harvest would be plenteous. Jesus will be called in this passage the first fruits offering because he's the first raised from the dead. As a first fruits offering, he guarantees our resurrection. Amen. Start in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Listen, your sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb. They are gone. Quit letting people and yourself beat you up over what you did in the past. The past is history. Amen. Don't let people tell you you're a loser. You're not a loser. You're a child of the King. Amen. What's in the past is in the past. Glory to God. Let's keep moving. See, if you're in the past, you're still in the flesh. Amen. You got to be in the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God lead you. Let's move forward. God's not concerned. You know, God never went back to Egypt. He didn't leave nothing in Egypt. You didn't leave nothing in your sinful past. Come on forward. Let's keep going forward. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Yes. See, the righteous requirement of the law was that I have to keep these laws. I have to be able to do all this, right? Okay? I have to keep offering up sacrifices every year. When I do sin, I have to offer up another sacrifice. Those were the righteous requirements. But now, through Jesus, those righteous requirements have been taken care of. Amen? Now I have the Spirit of the Son dwelling in me. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What are you setting your mind on today? Is it things of the flesh or is it things of the Spirit of the living God? Amen? All right. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. See, your carnal mind wants to worry. Your carnal mind wants to fret. Your carnal mind wants to be mad. Almost said something else. Man, that wouldn't have went good over there. Your carnal mind wants to be angry.
Amen.
But your spirit mind, your spirit, that spirit man in you with the Holy Spirit in you, if you're feeding him on a daily basis the Word of God, he'll bring a peace that passes all understanding no matter what situation you're in. But if you're one of those people that's subject to, oh God, and I'm not praying to God, you know, oh God, you know, what am I going to do? If you're subject to that, you're never going to hear from the Holy Spirit. You've got to quiet that carnal mind. That's why Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Amen. All right, let me keep going here. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit, now watch, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, somebody say amen.
Amen.
He who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If you'll listen to the Spirit in those difficult times, he will lead you out. Amen. You might still have to go through it, because I got to be honest with you, God has never just plucked me out of a situation. I've had to go through that situation, and he's always been with me in those situations. And there's a lot of you here that I know, and I know your life just like you know mine, and I'm not going to share your secrets, and by all means don't share mine, okay? But what I'm saying is I know that God has brought you through difficult times. I could name some of them, but I'm not going to, okay? But God has led you through. Glory. He's leading you through, Trev. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? No, that's not what it says. It says those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you can say we are.
We are.
Okay? Amen. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I don't do anything. I don't do anything unless my Father tells me.
Amen.
See, I don't know. But I think there might be one or two of you, maybe even the preacher at times, follows his own flesh instead of the Spirit of God. All right, we're going to get off of that. Moving right along. 15. For you did not, now watch, for you did not receive the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Paul is going to sum this thing up right here. Jesus came so that he could pay the penalty for our sins, Trev. He goes into the tomb. He's resurrected at the time of the first fruits offering. He's alive now, right? And he goes and he sits at the right hand of God. Amen. He goes into heaven, and he sprinkles his blood on the heavenly utensils of worship. All right? Then he returns, and he teaches the disciples, the Bible says, for 40 days. For 40 days, he teaches the disciples in his glorified body. My guess is everybody in the room, Jackie, he had their full attention. What do you think? You think he did? I'm sure he did. Until he showed up. So he's got their attention. He's teaching them 40 days. Then he ascends back into heaven, sets down at the right hand of the Father, and begins to pour out his Spirit. And in Acts 2, Peter is suddenly, he goes from this guy who's hiding, denying Jesus, to all of a sudden now he's preaching, hey, this is proof positive that this Jesus whom you crucified is now risen and seated at the right hand of God. Amen. So pouring out that Spirit, the Spirit of the Son was the goal. Passover was never God's goal. It was Shavuot or Pentecost. It was the outpouring of that Spirit in order that you could receive the Spirit of the Son, a Spirit of adoption, where you could cry out to God the Father, Abba, Daddy. That's a Hebrew term that Hebrew children use. It's Daddy. It's a real term of endearment. I know when we were over there, did you hear Brian's the little kids calling him Abba, Abba? It was just so adorable. But that's the idea. That's the reason for Pentecost. That's the reason he wanted you to be led by his Spirit. That's the reason he wanted that Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit of Messiah, the Son. Now guess what? Now that you have that Spirit of the Son, Jackie, now you have a responsibility to reflect that Spirit, reflect that Son. Why? Why do you want to reflect the Son? Isn't God well pleased? You're being led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Son, then you're going to be pleasing to the Father. Amen. You're going to reflect the Father. And didn't we already say that God was so well pleased with Jesus? Amen. Because he reflected the Father. Amen. Amen. Your job here on earth is not to hang on and hold out till heaven comes. Your job is to be the reflection of God. You know, there are people you meet every day. They need an encouraging word. Yes. They need you to boost them up. Listen, I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in luck. I believe that we have a God that orchestrates our lives. Amen. Amen. And I believe that when people come our way, it's for a reason. Amen. Amen. Now, you got to be careful because sometimes the enemy will send certain folks our way, okay? But you know what? There are a lot of hurting people out there that need us. When we run into those people, instead of us telling them how bad we got it, we need to tell them about the love of God. Amen. That little nurse asked me, she said, how you doing? I said, I'm hurting, but I know God's going to get me out of this. Took a little longer than I wanted, but, you know, because we want everything now. We are to be the reflection of the Father. Amen. You are sons of God. All right, now let's get to this resurrection. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Amen. You know what? You know, we live in a physical body. And once you're past the age of 40, that physical body brings a certain amount of suffering.
Well.
Okay? Hang in there. You'll make it, Trev. He says, listen, the suffering of this world cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Oh, wow. Uh-oh. It says here that even all creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, who are the sons of God? those who are led by the Spirit of God, right? And what is this revealing? How are they going to be revealed? I'm going to share with you right now.
Thank you.
When this mortal puts on immortality. Remember, Jesus is our first fruits offering. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Amen. His glorified body guarantees our glorification. How's all creation going to know the sons of God? Because when these mortals put on immortality, look what Paul says. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Christianity's great hope is in the resurrection. Our great hope is in the fact that someday, if they put this body in dust and it goes back to the dust and turns into dust again, we have that hope, Paul says. We have that hope that someday we will be resurrected because we have the, what do you call it? The first fruits of the Spirit. Another place Paul calls us the Holy Spirit living in us, he calls him the earnest expectation. Expectation of what? Of a resurrection and a new glorified body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says that this mortal shall put on immortality. Glory to God. That's why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It is the reestablishment of God's kingship here on the earth. Somebody say amen. And it is our great hope that someday, as we are led by the Spirit of God, as we do our best to reflect Jesus to a lost and dying world, someday the sons of God will be revealed when this mortal puts on immortality. And that is the hope of Christianity. Allah can't bring that hope. Buddha can't bring that hope. No politician can give you that hope. Only Yahweh can give you that hope. Amen? Glory to God. That's what Easter means to me. I say Easter, I don't even like Easter. Resurrection. That's what the Resurrection Sunday means to me. Are you blessed? I am so blessed. Me and Bernie are going to serve you communion. But here's what we did on Passover, Friday night. In a Jewish tradition in a Passover, they'll have what is called an afikoman bag. Afikoman is a Greek word that means what comes after, or dessert, right? And they have three pieces of matzah. And in those three pieces of matzah, let me show you matzah here. Matzah striped and pierced. Imagine that. Represents the body of Jesus. But in the Jewish tradition, they have three pieces of matzah in the afikoman bag. And the Jewish tradition, they'll tell you they represent Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Some Christians say they represent God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I like to say they represent God the Father, Jesus his Son, and mankind. Because Jesus was sent from the Father. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is our high priest right now. He's our go-between between the Father and mankind. Amen. He reconciled us back to the Father. Glory to God. So what they do in a Jewish Passover, they take that middle piece of matzah and they wrap it and they hide it. And they let kids go find it. Okay? And whoever finds it, they win money, candy, whatever. It's a game of hide and go seek. All right? Oh, don't look so religious at the Jewish people. How many of you have ever hid an Easter egg? Just saying, okay? All right, well, don't get down on them for hiding something. Let the kids find it out, all right? And I didn't say he's going to hell if you collared an egg or you hit an egg. I did not say that, okay? People get all warped sometimes. Anyhow, not you all. So what we are doing this morning is we took it and we placed it in the freezer bag because one year we just wrapped it in white cloth, and the next Sunday morning we had stale matzah for communion. So we have our own tomb. It's called a Ziploc freezer bag. All right, everybody relax. Jesus is cool. He's not mad at me. Okay, so don't you be mad at me. All right. Whew, man, religious people, you got to be careful around them. Anyhow, we're gonna bring it out today. We're gonna bring it out. We're gonna break it, and we're gonna serve you communion today. Amen. Bernie's going over there. He don't know it yet, but Bernie's going over there, and he's gonna get the cup. Amen. Let Bernie look you in the eye. Don't reach in there from the right side. Okay. All right. But on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. The Bible says. Just like we're going to do. I don't need that. I got this. Okay. 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 There we go. All right. We're going to serve you. Go ahead, Bernie. Need one for your daughter. They let your grandmother know you're already on it. Should have trusted you. You could have took the whole thing.
I started to. You took off like Bernie.
Don't be blaming the deliverer.
Don't blame the messenger.
Todd.
Welcome.
Hallelujah. What you have in your hands are the elements of communion. We'll share, Deb. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your death, your burial, your resurrection, for filling us with your Spirit in order that we could cry out to God, Abba, Daddy. For that, we give you glory, praise, and honor. On the night Jesus betrayed, he told them whenever they took the elements of communion, they were to do it in remembrance of him. So this morning, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are right now our high priest interceding for us, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our heart and remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body this morning. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And at Calvary, Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that life. We also know that in a Jewish betrothal ceremony, there are four cups of wine. The bridegroom does not drink of that fourth cup, and he won't drink it until the wedding day. But the bride drinks that fourth cup as a vow that she will be faithful until that wedding day. So not only does this cup represent the life of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, it becomes a vow of the bride of Christ that we will be faithful until he comes. So Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, with thanksgiving in our heart, we drink of this cup. Hallelujah. I want every head to be bowed this morning before we go. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It is Resurrection Sunday. So I just need to give anybody an opportunity. Maybe you've never been saved. You've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you'd like to do that this morning. Or maybe you once were in Father's house, but you've fallen away from God. And you say, this morning I need to come back to Father's house. If that's you on either one of those counts, thank you, Trevor. Anybody else? Anybody else, you say, I've never been saved. I need to give my heart to the Lord this morning. Or I need to come back to Father's house. Anybody, you just want to. Trevor, I didn't even have to tell him I wanted to raise my hand. Come on, Reuben. Just relax. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for these two who have come. Anybody else, you say, I need to come up there and pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Reach your hands out towards these.